Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey out there, rock and rollers. Welcome to the 139th episode of the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Mac B. the Wolf. And I will be joined, as usual, by my partner in crime and cohort, Gary Action Jackson, from the East Coast of the United States of America. And it's called the Ugly American Werewolf in London, folks. Yeah, I know. It's called that because I used to live in London. And I started the podcast from London, and I was talking about being an American over there, getting used to the culture, hunting down all these amazing historic spots all around London where the biggest bands in history have played and partied and made music history, you know, and that was a lot of fun. But then eventually I had to move to Amsterdam for a bit. Didn't really get a fair shake at Amsterdam, wasn't even really there 6 months, and we had to move back to America. However, when I was in Amsterdam, I didn't know we were going to be moving back so soon, bought some tickets to some great shows over there. And of course, some of those I had to end up selling because I can't just go back to Amsterdam every time I've got tickets to a show. But one really stood out. Now, I know you guys who've listened to us for a while know that I went to the Metallica shows, the first two nights of the M72 World Tour in Amsterdam. And that was a blast. What's that? Episodes 127 and 128, I believe. But there was another one that really stood out, and that's Iron Maiden. The fact of the matter is, Action Jackson had never seen Iron Maiden before in his life, which is terrible for a 50-year-old. They toured so much, figured he'd have a chance. And I've seen him 6 times, and I've had tickets to see him like 4 or 5 other times that fell through for one reason or another. So I was anxious to see him again, but I wanted Jackson to see him. And because he bought his ticket to come over to visit before I left Amsterdam, I said, all right, well, no, we've still got to do this thing. So I said, yeah, I'll meet you there, man. I've still got the tickets. Let's go. I not only had tickets to Amsterdam, but also Antwerp 2 nights later. So that's what this show is about, is me and Jackson meeting up in Amsterdam to see his first ever Iron Maiden show at the Ziggo Dome. And then 2 nights later, we go to Antwerp at the Sport Palace to see them again on the Days of Future Past tour, where they're not only playing a lot of stuff from the new album Senjutsu, but they're playing a lot of stuff from the Somewhere in Time album, which is personally, for me and Jackson, our favorite Iron Maiden album. So this is the perfect show to go see. And we're going to tell you all about the details of it, get into both nights. And to help us do so, we're going to have one of the USA's resident Iron Maiden experts and passionate fans. It's Steve from Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, a great podcast talking about all things Maiden. I've guested on there before talking about my Maiden story. And we talked about this show coming up that I was really excited about. So thanks to Steve. He's kind of our interviewer here. He's going to walk us through what he wants to know, what he thinks the Iron Maiden fans out there will want to know. So we really appreciate Steve coming on and doing this. We're talking about both shows and something really amazing that happened after the Antwerp show. You'll hear all about that here coming up here real soon. Just a little bit of business first. We always mention we are proud members of the Pantheon Podcast Network, a network of about 100 different shows. All topics of music. There's definitely something in there for everyone. You can check them out at pantheonpodcast.com or at pantheonpods on social media. And of course, to our amazing sponsor, Rare Vinyl. Guys, Rare Vinyl is one of the greatest distributors of classic records memorabilia in the world. They have over 250,000 items in stock. They ship all over the world. They have a 5-star rating from Trustpilot. And they've been doing this for 40 years. And if you find something that you love on there, lots of heavy-duty Iron Maiden collectors out there. Go find some European stuff. Go find some Japanese stuff. Find something you love, and then use code UGLY, U-G-L-Y, when you check out. You're going to save yourself 10%. Doesn't have to be Iron Maiden. Everything they've got in stock, whatever you buy one record for $25, you buy three box sets for $1,000. Put in code UGLY, you're going to save yourself 10%. Now back to Iron Maiden. This was, I think, the seventh and eighth times that I'd seen Iron Maiden in my life, and it was a blast. And part of it was because I was with Jackson, my old friend. We don't get to go that many shows these days together. We really haven't done much since we were in college together. That's been 30 years. So to be there with him on his first Iron Maiden show made it really special. It was good to be back in Amsterdam. I love living there. It's a great place to be. And then the Antwerp show was somehow even better. You'll hear all about it here on the show. Let's jump in. It's me and Jackson talking about seeing Iron Maiden live on the Days of Future Past tour in Amsterdam and Antwerp with our friend Uncle Steve of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone right here on The Wolf.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So here we are, back from Europe, back from a whirlwind tour of Europe, where we returned to my old hometown of Amsterdam there, but also got to take Jackson to his first ever Iron Maiden show and have a bunch of fun adventures along the way. And to help us kind of relive these memories properly and put them in context is the resident American Iron Maiden expert, it's Steve. Of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, the top Iron Maiden podcast around. Steve, thank you for joining us. Thank you for talking with us about my, what was it, seventh and eighth, I guess, Iron Maiden shows, but Jackson's first and second.
Thank you for the welcome. I don't know if I'm the resident expert, but I'm a resident.
There you go.
And you just answered one of my questions, because that was the very first question I had. Was I was going to ask Mac how many shows you had attended. So you've seen seven or eight, you said.
Because I went over that list when I was on your show in the spring.
Right.
You know, I made the list of all the shows I made and then all the shows I had tickets to and didn't make. Right.
Right.
I went back through there and I counted. No, Amsterdam was number seven and okay. Antwerp was number eight.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Now, my next question is, and this is probably things you have addressed before on your show, but I don't remember. When I talk to people, I just don't, you know, you talk to enough people, you can't remember what they say.
Absolutely, yeah.
So my question is, why, Jackson, have you never attended a show? Because you guys have been friends for a long time.
That's an excellent question. I think it was a timing deal. And we kind of moved away from each other after college. And then I got married, had a kid, and I lived in San Antonio, Texas for a long time, which is a big rock and roll metal town. But I just kind of got out of that. I didn't really have any friends that were into that kind of music.
Sure.
And not really a super huge fan of going to shows by myself at that point in time. Although now I don't think that would be such a huge deal. But yeah, I just kind of got out of it.
That makes sense.
And Maiden went through their, you know, Blaze Bailey days. And so I don't even remember them coming to tour for that. I do remember when they put out Brave New World and, it, you know, Bruce and Adrian were back. And I thought to myself, you know what? I should probably go see that show. But like I said, I didn't have anybody to go with. And my wife was like, they're stupid. I'm not doing that. So I just really never made the effort, which was now going to see these shows was definitely my my error in judgment. Was incredible.
Sure. Sure. I can understand that. I've been there. Now, when you guys go to this, these two shows, do you know the set list when you're going in?
Yes. Yeah. We had checked the set list. What is it? Setlist.fm or whatever it is. So, I mean, we were pretty sure we knew what the set list was.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's consistent every night. They don't really mix it up. I mean, they haven't even switched anything out yet. Usually at some point they might say, okay, this could be going better. Why don't we put something else in at this point? But since they've been doing this since May, I think the set list has been exactly the same every time.
Yeah, I think the days of them, you know, when they started the original Somewhere in Time tour and they did like the first night, I think they did the Loneliness, the Long Distance Runner. I think they did it once and realized that's not going to work. I think those days are kind of gone. I think they kind of have everything rehearsed so well. But
right.
Either way, so you, Yeah, I saw the Legacy of the Beast tour, and I went in not knowing as much as possible. I knew a couple of them that were going to be there, and it's hard to do these days. It's practically impossible, you know.
Yeah,
especially doing a podcast, being on social media, you know how that is. It's Maiden themselves were putting the set list out the night it came on. So
that's right. Yeah. I mean, now even sitting in the crowd, people would be like, oh, I can't wait till they play this.
Oh, show. Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm not trying to hear that.
Right. Yeah. I had a, on my show, I've got a guy, he's my official politician, and he went into the show without knowing. And I told him, you know, he would ask me questions. And one of the things I told him, I said, whatever you do, I said, don't go look at the t-shirts before either. Because if you do, you know, they've got Hell on Earth on a t-shirt. They've got Alexander the Great. They've got Stranger in a Strange Land. They've got all the things that, you know, surprises. So now you said you guys attended the O2 show, or did you go to the, I know Amsterdam was one of, what was the other show?
After Amsterdam was Antwerp. Yeah.
Okay. Now. Okay. And so how far removed are you from these shows right now? Is it about a week now?
Yeah, it was today's Monday, and the first one was Tuesday night, and the second one was Thursday night last week. So, you know, not quite a week, like 4 days, six days in there, yeah.
So who opened the shows?
The Raven Age.
What did you guys think of them?
They were really, really loud. It was insane. Like when we got there, the doors, you know, like you had to go into, you know, open the door and get into the deal, and we could hear them through that. They were really loud. Sure. You know, we were kind of talking about that a little bit. It's not really the kind of music that we're into, only because we don't like the King Kong vocals.
Gotcha.
You know,
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, when Maiden, I mean, like Bruce, he's got probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest voice in metal history.
Yeah,
These guys, they, it's just not the same thing.
Sure. Now, have either of you guys seen bootlegs of the original Somewhere in Time tour?
No.
Well, no, because there's just, it's shocking that they never made like an official one, but I guess they had already spent all that money to do Live After Death, you know, the big video and all that. So then they decided not to do it. And you know, with like the inflatable hands coming up at the end of the stage or whatever, because we've seen the videos, but I've never really watched the bootlegs of that show.
Yeah, I never have either. But you're right, with Live After Death, they didn't. And I think they've learned that error of their way since then, because they did record Seventh Son. So
that's right.
And then now every album practically they do that. So
that's although right. I think probably Bruce is better off that way, because he's that Stranger in a Strange Land video was where you got to see his space pirate outfit, I guess. And I think he's definitely said that was a miss as far as the wardrobe department went.
Yeah. So, okay. So this next question is specifically for you, Jackson, because the Wolfman here has seen this seven times. What were your thoughts when Doctor started playing?
I knew we were getting close. I knew that was the beginning. And I'm actually really kind of happy that they do that, because you know, as soon as they, I can't remember what they were playing before that, but they kind of cut it short. And then they went into Doctor, and everybody knew, okay, here we go. This is going to start it. And then I knew that they were going to do some Blade Runner stuff after that. But yeah, that was like, you knew, okay, now it's time to, you know, because you're kind of looking around saying, okay, how many people are here? What does this look like? But as soon as that comes on, you know, pay attention. Yeah. The show is going to start.
Yeah, and it's almost like a song from the set list, because people in the crowd are all singing along with that as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
was it War Pigs they played at the last before that? Because I'm trying to remember. I think they played War Pigs. It got really loud, and you're like, oh, maybe that was Judas Priest that played War Pigs. I'm thinking of Priest. Never mind.
Yeah, they played Cashmere, I know, one night. I don't know if it was right before Doctor, but I remember, okay, well, we're getting them amped up now, I guess. But I don't remember exactly what it was right before.
So obviously the Blade Runner stuff starts. What were your, and you knew the set going in, but what were your thoughts on, I want each of you to answer this separately, if you will. What were your thoughts? Because I've seen a little bit of the video of it. Whenever it caught Somewhere in Time, whenever that, I mean, That's got to be a pretty momentous feeling. What would you guys think? Jackson, you first. What did you think? This is your first show. Caught Somewhere in Time is the first song you ever hear Iron Maiden play live. What are you thinking when it just kicks in and the music just starts before they run on?
Well, it's kind of a little bit of background here. I was excited when they announced this to begin with, because Somewhere in Time is probably my favorite record.
Oh, okay.
They did for a couple different reasons, but so I was excited that they were gonna get into that. But yeah, that's an iconic intro to it. Even though I knew the very beginning part wasn't gonna be live, because mm-hmm. that's what they do. They play a little bit and then they come. You know, when the song actually really starts, they come running out on stage. But yeah, it was like I've heard that so many times. It's a great way to start the record and it's a great way to start the show.
Yeah. And what about you, Mac?
Well, you know, I thought the lights were so cool when they're doing the Blade Runner stuff. You know, the lights going all around the stage on top and the bottom. Like, oh boy, yeah, here we go. And then, you know, Caught Somewhere in Time has a little bit of a slow opening to get you built up. And then, pop, you know, pyro, boom, they run out to the front of the stage. You know, I'm like, yes, here we go, man. This is so much fun. And I was just excited because Jackson was there. I don't know. I guess we both have this passion. We've both been friends for so long. I don't know. It just means more to me to be with him than to be by myself or to be with some rookie or someone who doesn't care that much. You know, not to mention, I just love it because I've seen so many great bands. I'm like, I know these are about the best live band you're ever going to see. And, you know, 10 seconds in, like, here's the proof. Look at them go, man. It's awesome.
Well, and that was kind of the I don't want to say apprehension, but kind of a little bit in the back of my mind, like he's hyped this up so much. but in the past talking about going to shows, but then when we decided to do this and now we're walking in, I'm like, oh man, you know, I hope this, you know, lives up to what I built it up in my head. And 2 seconds into it, no, it was as soon as they hit the stage. I mean, the sound is so awesome.
Yeah.
That they're so tight when they come out. They're so excited to be there. It's fantastic. And the crowd is just, you know, frothing at the mouth to get the show started. It was awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, another question I have for Jackson here, because I can remember seeing, like, say, Kiss in 1996 with the makeup on. First time for me to see the original band.
Yeah.
Were there tears shed?
It was like, I can't believe this is actually happening. You know, because we've talked about it so many times. And then, you know, we planned this trip. There was the whole thing with, you know, Mac was living in Amsterdam, then he wasn't. And like, is this going to happen? And we got it together. And yeah, to have it actually come to fruition, it was almost like, it almost kind of stopped for a minute. Like everything stopped.
And sure.
Like, this is actually happening. It's actually happening. It's not a plan. It's not a dream anymore. This is actually happening. So it was, it was very surreal and definitely lived up to all the hype.
Very nice. Very nice. So one question I have is I don't know if you guys are, how much you've seen or heard about, but Nico was getting a lot of, there was a lot of talk about Nico and his playing, because Caught Somewhere in Time is probably not an easy song for a 30-year-old drummer, let alone a 70-year-old drummer.
Right.
And I know I was one that was kind of like, here in the first couple of shows, I was like, wow, he's missing a step here. You can really hear the differences. But as it's went on, it sounds like it's got a lot better personally. So what did you guys think anything of it, or was it just so great you didn't even care?
I'm going to let you handle that one, Matt, because you thought you saw something there.
Yeah. So so sonically, Steve, I didn't catch anything bad or anything going on with Nico. And you're right. Like when they first start, you're so excited. Like, you know, you're not worried about it.
Right.
But in those first couple of songs, again, I didn't hear anything way off, but I saw Steve go back to Nico and stand right in front of it. Kind of like, okay, this is the beat we're on, or this is the rhythm, not what you're doing. This is what we're supposed to do. And you know how Nico is usually Mr. Happy, have big smile and all that kind of stuff. On the video, I can see Steve standing in front of him, like intently kind of showing him what to do. And then Nico's, he doesn't have that famous Nico smile on his face. It's like he was really working Okay, he was sure. really intent and focused on trying to get it right. And I talked to Jackson about it after the show. He's like, I didn't hear it. I'm like, honestly, I didn't either. But I think Harris did. Had to go back there and be like, okay, Nico, this is how you have to get this right now. That was in Amsterdam. That wasn't the case in Antwerp. He never went back there once, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after you said that, you know, I was looking to see when the camera would pan to him, to Nico. And it did look like it was like somebody had hurt his feelings. Like he was just kind of like, fine, you know, whatever. It wasn't that like, you know, because he's always mugging to the camera or, you know, doing his thing. And yeah, it looked like he had been scolded there. But again, I couldn't hear that he missed anything.
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it is it's probably a lot more work for him now. And I have a friend, Willie in Finland. He saw a show there and he said, cause I asked him after, cause he went, that was pretty early on. And I said, did you notice Nico? What did you think? Cause that was right when we were really all talking about it. And he said, I didn't notice anything. He said, but when I went home and started listening to recordings of the show I was at, I could hear, I could really hear kind of a difference. And it sounds to me like, I haven't heard any more footage. I kind of backed off the footage, but it sounds like he's kind of, for all intents and purposes, really picked it up. And but like you said, if there's a moment like that, Steve's definitely going to go back there and say something,
right? Yeah. He's old, right? He's 70. Yeah. He's the oldest guy in the band, right?
Yeah the hardest job. Yeah, him and Bruce have the hardest. I just, the funniest thing to me is, like, you know, you're 70, you should be enjoying retirement, and instead you're on stage in front of 20,000 people getting yelled at by your boss.
Yeah,
that's just, it's kind of funny to me. So something I've read on Twitter, I just wanted to ask you guys, because I haven't heard how this happened or if it happened, or I've heard it happened, but I haven't heard how. They said that Bruce teased Deja Vu somehow during a show recently. Did he do that during your show? The song Deja Vu, did he tease it? What was this?
It was something about how he was doing the crowd work, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, it was Days of Future Past.
Sure.
You know, we've done this, blah, blah, blah. It's like Deja Vu. That's another song we have, but we're not doing it tonight, or something like that. Mentioned it in Amsterdam, but he didn't mention it in Antwerp, but it was something like that. Like he said the title, but then backed off. So
yeah, there were, you know, there was a few years ago. I don't know if you guys ever saw the footage where it was, I don't know how many years ago this was, but they were doing, it had to have been on the Legacy of the Beast tour, and they were doing the Klansmen. And there's the bit where he says, we can't let them take anymore. We can't let them take anymore. We're the land of the free. But then he changed it one night and he started going, we can't let them take anymore. We can't let them take anymore. Alexander the Great. And they was at, I believe it was in Greece when he did it. And it has been, like I said, that's been on the Legacy tour, because he goes, we're going to try something different, you know? And when he did it, it was just like everyone going, okay, when's this ever going to happen? When are they really going to play and of course we're going to go over the set list here in just a sec. So you guys actually saw this. Let's see what we got. So I have the set list here and I'll go over it real quick, and I want to get you guys' thoughts as we go through here, I guess. So obviously you've talked about Caught Somewhere in Time. So they did a second song was Stranger in a Strange Land. You guys must like that one, right?
Love that. Love the bass beat. It's a little bit slow, and I think maybe that's why they took it out of the set, but I love that song and it's awesome.
I think they put the Stranger in a Strange Land and Writing on the Wall in order, because Caught Somewhere in Time is such a fast paced song that it was a chance for Nico to kind of catch his breath.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what I thought. How was Adrian's guitar solo in there in Stranger?
Fantastic. Adrian was, and we talked about this. We were on in Antwerp. We were on, and I'm sorry, in Amsterdam. We were on the Yannick side, and so he comes out and he's, you know, throwing his leg up on the amp and, you know, mugging to the crowd. And I love Dave. He played awesome, also. But the bottom line is that Adrian is the lead guitarist in this band. Man.
Yeah, sure. We were talking about how getting Bruce back for Brave New World was huge for the band. But what might have been bigger was getting Adrian back, man.
Yeah.
His songwriting, his lead guitar, even his backup vocals led to these songs. And then when you kind of go through some of these, obviously he was big on the Somewhere in Time album. But the stuff that they did in addition to Senjutsu and Somewhere in Time, when you think about The Prisoner, that's very Adrian, you know. You know, the Trooper, he was big on, you know, and then there's the two, Fear of the Dark and Iron Maiden, which maybe he wasn't a part of when they made them, but
right.
Still the rest of it, it's very, very Adrian centric, and his solos are the best on most all the songs they play.
Yeah, I think all three of them are, you know, have definitely great soloing, but yeah, Adrian's to me stand out a little bit more. I like the bite that he has on his. Which side were you on? You said you were on Yannick's on the one side, but at the other show, where were you at?
We were on the complete opposite side. So we were on the Dave/Adrian side for Antwerp.
That's cool. That's very cool. Yeah. Both sides of that. So then they went into, Writing on the Wall, Days of Future Past. And how was Days of Future Past? How'd that one go? How'd that one sound?
I thought it was great. I thought that was killer, to be honest with you. Everyone knows Writing on the Wall. It was a big single. They had the killer video. Bruce even played it at his one-man show with both Jackson and I. And you saw him too, right, Steve?
Yes, I saw that, yes.
Yeah, so we've all heard that, and it's been out for a couple of years. We've heard the whole album, sure, but that one's already kind of drilled in there. I thought Days of Future Past was one that I had kind of, I don't know, forgotten about is the right word, but it was just good to not know it by heart. And then it comes in, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is really pretty awesome. It's not as big a runner as some of the others are, but I think it's very melodic and it's not super long. And again, Adrian's bit is perfect.
Right. Then they went into Time Machine, which I personally, Somewhere in Time's the album I came in on, you know, as a fan.
Okay.
I started Live After Death was out when I became a fan, but of course Somewhere in Time was probably the first studio album I had.
Wow.
But I think I would want to hear a couple of the Somewhere in Time songs, but I would probably want to hear more of the new ones. I know we kind of differ on that.
Because part of the attraction too was the fact that both Mac and I really do like Senjutsu. It's a solid album, and the stuff that they picked were really good.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little I'll get to that question in a minute here. So Time Machine I thought was really cool because I think one of the best musical sections from the whole album is they know that there's that part where it goes into da na 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 na, and it's just a very cool musical section. It's a little bit of a, I'm trying to remember what someone called it. They said it gave him a weird vibe, that musical section, but I love it. Of course, they played The Prisoner, which was the first time I believe since the 2013 or so when they did that Seventh Son tour.
Which I loved ever since I saw 12 Wasted Years. And they told the story about getting McGowan's permission to use his voice on the track. And then they showed the video. I'm like, well, this is an awesome song. Why wasn't this a single? Or why wasn't this bigger? And then to see Adrian do it. And in Antwerp, Bruce actually kind of ran over because he's on the riser that goes all around the sides and behind Nico, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
Yeah, the riser is kind of a U-shaped thing or, you know, box shape. But he's like, Mr. Smith. And he ran behind him. He's like, yes, Mr. Smith. So he could let Adrian do that. This is so good.
Yeah. Now, the next song they played Death of the Celts. And I was surprised that they played Death of the Celts.
Why is that? Because it's slower?
No, because of the three longer tracks, I was expecting The Parchment over that.
Okay.
But I gotta say, I think that's a I love the bass intro on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's actually a video right now of the band called The Cure, and their bass player was at the end of one of their songs, apparently plays the intro to Death of the Celts. He plays that bass solo thing.
Really?
So yeah, I have a friend that is a huge fan, and he said they played three shows in LA. He went to two of them. The third show, the one he didn't go to, the guy does the Death of the Celts bass intro. So
no way.
He was a little, which I found interesting, but how did y'all like that one? How'd that one come across?
I think it was good. I mean, it was a long song. It was a new song, but I think the intro was really cool because it was kind of, and we'll get to this a little bit later, but it was Fear of the Dark E, you know, and I knew that was coming up. So that kind of pumped me up for that also, but it fit really well into the set list.
No, I actually love Death of the Celts, to be honest with you. It may have been my favorite new song in the set list. Just because, it's got that vibe where Steve does have the special bass to do the intro. And then it picks up, and Bruce is really great in it. And just live, it just came across I thought really well. I'm like, you know what? I remember talking to Gary afterwards, like, you know what? That was good. That was really awesome. You're right. I usually go for the older songs before I go for the newer songs. But when you've got a good blend of both, I feel like that's what makes the killer set list. And if the new album isn't that good, like I go see them on the Dance of Death tour, but I don't really like Dance of Death, right? Okay. I'm like, just get through these so we can get to the stuff that I like. But I felt like these fit in really well. They're well composed. And yeah, like Jackson said, it had the Fear of the Dark-esque intro. And then the rest of the song is great. And then, of course, after that, they kind of go on a run of some real classics, right?
Yeah. The other cool thing that I really like about the show is that every single song has a custom piece in the back.
Right.
Big banner.
Yeah. So it's a different thing. So you know, like, okay, we're switching, and then it's a different deal. And that one was really cool, you know, with people laying all over the battlefield. So that really adds more to the experience of each track being a different mm-hmm. chapter here.
Yeah. I know when I took my daughter, I know sometimes they roll those banners across right before the song starts, like especially on the Trooper, and you're like, oh, here comes the Trooper. Yeah. So.
Hi, this is Mick Wall, and you are listening to the Ugly American Werewolf in London.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So they did Can I Play With Madness next. What did you guys think of that live? Because how did they start it? Did they start it with the 1-2, 1-2-3-4 bit, or did they do a cymbal hit? How'd they do that one?
They did it. Well, Bruce did a little bit of crowd work, and he was talking about how, you know, what was it? Something, something, Monty Python was in this. And then, yeah, I think it was the cymbal intro and then into the song.
Okay. I've never liked the... when they do it with the a one, a two, I'm like, no, you're Iron Maiden. Stop.
Exactly. I think they heard you on that because they did not do that. And it turned out great. I mean, that's kind of where we came in was our buddy Rob lent us the Seventh Son record when we were freshmen, when we were living together. And I'm like, damn, this is good. And of course, that was kind of the single, the short one on there. And again, Adrian was great on it. I'm like, damn, this is fun, man. This is so much fun. I'm so glad we get to do this together.
Yeah. And I don't mean to sound surprised when you give me your answers, because I know you've already given them all to me. Some people will go, oh, well, you know my feelings. Like I'll talk to them on Twitter. Oh, you know my feelings on this. I told you this. I'm going.
Don't worry about that, man.
Yeah, you're not the only person I talk to. And I don't have the greatest memory. I mean... But it's song lyrics is what I have up here. I don't have,
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Plus the listener doesn't know everything we know. So let's, let's make it for
this
them.
Is true. This is true. Yeah. So Can I Play With Madness goes into Heaven Can Wait. And I'll be honest, when I saw that 1-2 there, I was like, that's probably when I would, and I don't even drink. That's probably when I would want to go get a beer. So I like those songs. I like Can I Play With Madness as a song on the album. I'm not a big fan of it live because I think they struggle. You've got multi-layered Bruce on the chorus in the album. Mm-hmm. And then live, you've got Steve Harris and Adrian trying to pull it off. And I just don't think they do very well. But either way. And plus, it's a Seventh Son song and you're doing a Somewhere in Time tour. Put Deja Vu in there. or you know what? Sea of Madness.
That's what I really
people would be all over that.
Yeah. But they did Heaven Can Wait. Did they pull anybody on stage for Heaven Can Wait for the whoa, whoa, whoa part?
No, like back in the day when the crew used to come out there, you'd even see Smallwood out there, singing along. I was kind of anticipating would something like that happen, but no, they didn't. But I'll tell you, the women in the crowd, most of whom were wives or girlfriends of guys who were big Iron Maiden fans, especially in Antwerp, they were really singing along to that one. I don't know if that was a bigger hit in Europe than it was in America, but they were, Heaven Can Wait. They kind of liked that. And then the whoa, of course, the crowd was way into that. So,
sure.
Yeah. The female audience really perked up on Heaven Can Wait. I can tell you that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I thought so too.
The female crowd, that's just something that didn't used to happen. Now, after Heaven Can Wait, obviously, the Maiden does something they've literally never done. they played a brand new song from an album that's 30 years old, a song they never played live. So what was there any kind of, did Bruce intro the song, or did they just kind of have it fade into that, you know, my son, ask for thyself another kingdom? How did that go?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, okay. It kind of faded out, and then they went into the spoken intro. I don't remember him doing any intro to this.
No. Yeah. That's exactly what they ran the spoken intro from the song itself. Yeah,
sure. I mean, as we all know, we've all attended spoken word shows. We know Bruce likes to talk. I'm surprised he didn't, you know, get up there and say, because he even said it at one of his spoken word shows. Someone had asked, "Are you guys ever going to play Alexander?" And he goes, "Yes, we are." I said, he probably knows that stuff years in advance. they have a plan for years and years in advance. So it's sure, he surely knew that. So how did you, obviously, Mac, you've never, you know, you've seen Maiden, but you've never heard them play this. This is one of the, like I said, brand new. What did you think, having been to a lot of shows and then actually getting something completely brand new from an old album?
Yeah, I thought that, first of all, the crowd went nuts as soon as they rolled out the banner, which is like Eddie in like Centurion, you know, garb with the big shield and the sword, with his face, right? Everyone's like, oh boy, here we go. You know, so the crowd was into it. And I think the band, their energy was really up for it because they knew the crowd loves it. And you're right. It's been sitting around for 30, 35 years, however long it's been, and they haven't really dug into it, and they really delivered it. It was killer. It was so much fun. And like, God, this is kind of what everybody was waiting for. I mean, more than probably any other song, this is what everyone was waiting for. Right. And you know, look, I've only seen them in America prior to this. And while the American crowds are excited and maybe the people up front, you know, are the real diehard fans, you can tell Bruce is nonplussed or not thrilled to be there sometimes. If the place is only two thirds full or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You couldn't have gotten another person in there with a shoehorn either one of these nights. Okay. And we're talking 17 to 20,000 people packed, upper rows, packed in the upper deck, packed in the floor. And that gives him more energy. He's more psyched to do these kinds of shows. And I just, they're gods in Europe. They're just another hard rock band, except to the diehard Maiden fans here in America.
I agree with that.
That changes the vibe in a huge way.
Yeah.
And it was interesting for me because this being my first show, I knew the hype going in that they had never played this before. So it was kind of like, hey, I'm new to this, but they're playing a song I know nobody else has heard either. So here we go. And it was interesting because in Amsterdam, Bruce did make a comment about that right off the bat. Like, I thought I mean, the place was packed, couldn't have got another person in there, but I thought it was a little reserved. And Bruce did say something about how it's very cold up on stage tonight. Something like that. I'm like, I guess maybe he's not feeling this right off the bat. It got going, but at the beginning, it was a little stiff.
Interesting.
Real quick, though, on that note, though, Jackson may be right. Amsterdam is a little bit more of a cosmopolitan city. You know, I would say it's bigger and there's maybe a little bit more money there. And the Ziggo Dome was pretty nice, kind of more new and that kind of thing. Whereas I feel like Antwerp, I don't know if and it was a nice place too, but I don't think it's as big. And the Sport Palace was not quite as nice and new. And Jackson could feel like, even remarking to me, he's like, there's a bit more of a dirty, grittier vibe here tonight. I feel like we're gonna have a little bit more of a time here, and I think he was right. And I don't know if it's a more blue collar town or whatever, but I could feel a bigger vibe in Antwerp than I could in Amsterdam myself.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, even I don't know what the seating capacity was one to the other, but it seemed like in Antwerp everybody was more on top of each other. So it was really more of a compact place. And yeah, it just seemed like everybody was more psyched up, you know, on the train. I mean, when we took the train into to the Sports Palace in Antwerp, you could not have gotten another person on the train. They were packed in. Everybody had a Maiden shirt on. Everybody was ready to go. When we went into Amsterdam, same thing, but there weren't that many people on the train. I don't know if the times were a little bit different, but in Antwerp, it just seemed like it was more of more electricity there.
Straight from Antwerp! And I didn't ask this, but you guys did have seats. You were not in like the pit area or anything, right?
That is correct. And yeah, I didn't think that was still a thing. It's not in the United States really, but it is there. And woo-ha, were there people packed in on top of each other?
Yes, I've seen some of that. And I'll sit a little further back to avoid the pit. I'm just like, I want to have a seat, you know, I want to be able to have my own little piece space. Property. Yeah. So then of course they go. Now, another kind of baffle to me a little bit, if you're going to take songs out and leave songs in, was Leaving Fear of the Dark In, which obviously is a great crowd song, but at the same time, it's from a couple albums past. You think you could have left something else in or brought something else in. But either way, Fear of the Dark's a great crowd song. I never get tired of hearing that one live. I'm sure in Europe, I'm sure the crowd was probably a whole lot better, because like, I totally agree with you on the American crowd. Hey, it's great, but it wasn't American crowds that sang along with guitar solos. It wasn't American crowds that...
That's right.
When you compare the crowd sound on Live After Death to some of the other ones from other countries, and it's pretty vast difference too. So what did y'all think about that? How did the sing-along go? How did the crowd react to that one?
It was good, but I was a little bit disappointed, because I've seen Bruce in the past where he does, you know, everything's quiet, and then he says, you know, a light in the dark. I mean, a light in the black, or just a fear of the dark. So I was kind of hoping he would do that, but they just went into it. But yeah, the crowd was very receptive to Fear of the Dark, because that's a good sing-along one also.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're singing along with solos. You're singing along with everything. Yeah. So,
yeah. But I'll tell you, Steve and Yannick, and we can talk a little bit about Yannick's role here if you want, but Steve and Yannick bounce during Fear of the Dark. Fear of the Dark. They're bouncing with the crowd on that side. On the other side, Adrian and Dave are just kind of nodding their heads and playing along, but Yannick and Steve still jump up and down, you know?
I always say that Dave and Adrian are like, they've got their roots into the ground, you know.
Yeah.
They're like trees planted over there sometimes, but you know, it is, they're all there for their reasons. You know, Steve has everybody where he has them for a reason. And I do appreciate, I know he gets a lot of flack, but I was, me and my daughter like watching Yannick. He's just
brings the energy. He definitely he's definitely getting the crowd pumped up. And you know, in the first show, we're sitting on his side. He's pointing, you know, to the crowd and swinging the guitar around and everything. So, yeah, he definitely adds an element to the show.
He's definitely entertaining.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I have a constant fear that something's always near. Fear of the dark, you! I have a phobia, someone's always there.
So obviously the show ends next with Fear, with Iron Maiden. They close out the original part of the show with Iron Maiden. What was the Eddie like during Iron Maiden? I haven't seen what they're doing this time.
So it's Blade Runner.
Yeah.
It's Blade Runner Eddie.
Okay. Kind of like the album cover guy then?
That's right.
Okay.
Didn't he have the hat on?
Two. First, like in Caught Somewhere in Time, they had hat on Blade Runner Eddie.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
But for Iron Maiden, it was more like cover shot.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. With his gun. Okay, and here's the thing. They didn't do this in Antwerp. I don't know if the pyrotechnics were off or whatever. But in Amsterdam, and we were on Yannick's side, there was a big gun on the top of where Bruce runs around on the riser on top of everything on Yannick's side. So Eddie comes out on the Adrian and Dave side, and he points his gun, and he starts shooting it at Bruce. And so they have fireworks go off around him, and then Bruce has this big gun, almost like they had on American Gladiators, where they would shoot the tennis balls at people, you know, trying to get there. Right. And he's shooting it at the Eddie, and they're going back, and he's flipping him off, and they're shooting it back and forth.
Yeah.
And we were right there to see it, like, coming right at us. Like, I got a little video I stuck on YouTube. I'm like, this is fun. Eddie or Bruce, who you got, you know? And then when Bruce walks off, like, his gun kind of blows up. And then Eddie's like, ha-ha, victory. You know, I got Bruce kind of thing. I thought that was fun. I thought that was a blast.
Oh, very cool. Very. I know. I'm trying to remember what it was on the last tour. Well, we saw the second part of the Legacy tour, and it was a little bit different because Bruce. Trying to remember which song it was. But he came out and he had a gun and he was doing some shooting or something like that, and acting like he was shooting. I can't remember which song that was, but it was. It's funny because, you know, Bruce is very theatrical, so it's just kind of he hams it up. Were there a lot of costume changes? One of my co-hosts was not a fan of all the Legacy of the Beast costume changes.
Not really. He had like a, he came out in pants, a shirt, and a coat, and then the coat came off. And then I think he had a vest on at one point in time. But yeah, it wasn't, it was kind of like, it was the same outfit. He was just in kind of different configurations. Okay. He didn't go in and do the change. Like
it wasn't
for the trooper. He didn't have the red coat on or anything like that.
So the encore, they go off. They come back on stage and they open the encore with Hell on Earth, which mm-hmm. is, you know, the album closer from Senjutsu. So did Steve come straight out and start playing it? Was he by himself? Was the whole band out there? How did that go?
They all came running out on that one. But my problem with this song is that there was not enough pyro for this.
Okay.
One. No, I'm just kidding. I thought my face was gonna catch on fire. I mean, because usually like they start and there's a couple like puff, sure. you know, and then they go into the song. This was the whole thing. They were blowing, it seemed like it anyway, they were blowing fire off of the entire stage.
Very cool. And how did yeah. that song come across?
It was awesome. You know, I think they did a little bit of, you know, they were talking about kind of, you know, kind of where we're going in, you know, the history of the world, and they mm-hmm. again they had the apocalyptic backdrop for that. So I thought it came off really well, especially to start the encore.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that's a good way to do it. Like you still got one more good new song you want to do, mm-hmm. kick off the encore with it, and yeah, it came across great. They were awesome.
Very cool. Very. That is one that I've seen a lot of pretty rave reviews on. Like everyone's pretty excited to have that one in there. It seems.
Yeah, they had done a couple of pyro, you know, a little bit, but I mean, that was constant the whole time. And I think that really added to it. You know, it added to the everything looking like it was destroyed in the back. And then sure. just the show of watching them do this over and over and over again. And they probably had, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 of the fire spouts coming out of the stage. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty intense.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So they close the show with two classics. They close with The Trooper, and they close with, then they go into Wasted Years after that. Mm-hmm. How did you guys enjoy the last two songs?
I mean, when we reviewed Peace of Mind, we were talking about how if you've never heard Iron Maiden before, you said, what's Iron Maiden? You would play The Trooper for them. So just to hear yeah. that live, it's just, I'm glad that I know they play it a lot. I'm glad I got to hear it.
Yeah, I could never get tired of that one either.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and I'm like, it's just Jackson's first show. Obviously, they're not going to play every favorite song, you know, that you're going to have. But I'm like, I'm just glad they played that one for him. And at that point, I was so psyched. I was having such a good time. Mm-hmm. And then they play that. And like, it's not like it dampens your mood. Right? It's like, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's so much fun. I'm like, yeah, it was great. I was just like, I'm so glad Jackson's here to see this. And I'm here with him. And the crowd was just digging it, man. It was awesome.
That's awesome. And then Wasted Years, I guess, did y'all hear any flubs anywhere in the show? I know you said that you caught Steve going back there and reprimanding Nico, but did you hear anything where did the band sound like they were missing anywhere?
Not that I could hear. I mean, if you go, and I don't know, I'm not the audio engineer or anything, but I didn't hear a missed note. I didn't hear anybody start sure. a different song, or, you know, there wasn't that like, wait a minute, you're right. a measure ahead or something like that. I didn't see any of that.
Well, on Wasted Years, I don't say there were flubs necessarily. I will say he didn't play it. Adrian didn't necessarily play it exactly like you hear it on the album. Okay. He maybe took some license. This is my solo. This is my song. and he'll play it just a little bit differently. It wasn't like he was bad. It was like, oh, he's screwing this up or anything like that. And in Amsterdam, he kind of announced, like, every time we play this song, Bruce is like, it's the best effing night of our lives every time we play this song. And sure. They got into it, and it's off and running. And then we were having such a blast in Antwerp. The show was so much fun. We had these two American guys from Atlanta sitting behind us who were maybe our age, or a little bit older. And we were starting high-fiving them after certain songs. And it's like, when this came out, it was euphoric. It was like, God, this is honestly, like Jackson said, this is about our favorite Maiden album. And if I had to pick my favorite song off the album, I guess it's this one. I guess it's Wasted Years. I love the intro. I love Adrian's solo in it. And, you know, the story is a simple one, but it's one, someone who I used to travel for work all the time and sometimes pass my wife in the airport, you know, because she was doing the same thing. And like, we wouldn't see each other for 2 weeks. And I'm like, let's get away from the wasted years of being on the road. When are we going to have our life together? I don't know. It just kind of hits home as much as ever now to me, I guess.
Hey, this is Scott Holiday from the Rival Sons. You're listening to The Ugly American Werewolf in London.
Did y'all hang around while Always Look on the Bright Side of Life played at the end of the show?
No. Max got his concert agenda, and it's just like, if you don't leave now, you're never going to leave. So we bounced out of there and jumped on a train.
Did y'all get any shirts?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm wearing mine.
Okay, which one is? I'm trying to...
Sorry, yeah, I'm a little far away. It's basically, it's Eddie in his Blade Runner hat. Okay. Yeah, Stranger in a Strange Land. And then on the back, it has like all the European dates from May through August, which is pretty cool.
And I got the one that's half Somewhere in Time, Eddie, and half Senjutsu put together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So I like, it's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Very cool, very cool. So out of the set list, what were there any changes you would have made if you could have? Jackson, you first.
Oh, geez. I'm gonna say not really, because I really like the two new. I really like the new record, and I really like Somewhere in Time. I mean, like you said, you could have messed around. You could have put like Sea of Madness. You could have put Deja Vu. But I mean, to hear the stuff, I think they had just enough old stuff too. I love the set list, and it was interesting because Max said, "Well, you know, you're basically seeing the same show twice."
Sure.
But my thing, and I thought about that, and my thing was, but it's like watching a movie again, where you say, okay, I'm going to see different things. The experience won't be as overwhelming with the lights and everything, so I can concentrate on the music. So, yeah, I thought this was a really solid set list.
Okay. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the set list. I thought it was awesome. I was so psyched for Jackson. Like, these are your first shows that you ever saw? Because, you know, I saw them with Blaze at a club. Is my first show, you know, and that's a pretty different set list. And I'm like, this is so awesome. And just the fact that they threw in The Prisoner, Fear of the Dark, I get, like you say, it's a big crowd pleaser. They kind of never don't do Fear of the Dark. They kind of never don't do Iron Maiden, and they do The Trooper quite a bit. So, you know, getting The Prisoner was just, I was totally psyched about that. And Can I Play with Madness? Would I have subbed out something else on Seventh Son for it? Probably so. But I did see them do that tour. What was that, 2011 or whenever that was, when Alice Cooper opened for them over here, where they did about six of the songs, including the title track. So I'm like, you know, I've kind of seen most of those anyway. So I mean, maybe that I would switch out for something else from that album. But that's picking nits as far as I'm concerned. I would say this is the best set list of the eight shows. Well, although this is two of the eight shows. This is the best set list I've ever seen him do.
Okay. I wrote down what I would have changed. I would have taken out Can I Play with Madness? I would have taken out Heaven Can Wait, and I would have taken out Writing on the Wall, and I would have included all new songs for him. I mean, obviously, if I could have got Sea of Madness, I would have taken That's my favorite song from Somewhere in Time. But I hate that they took out Senjutsu, and I hate that they took out Stratego.
Yeah.
I really like both of those. And Writing on the Wall is a good one, but I like those two better. And I just would have added, I also wrote Lost in a Lost World, but I think I would have put in Senjutsu, Stratego, and Sea of Madness. So the three S's there for to replace all three of those. But, you know, I like the whoa part. And like I said, Can I Play with Madness? It's hard for them to replicate all the vocals that happen, you know, on the album sometimes. So,
right.
So, okay. We got three more questions here. First one is, each one of you guys, I'll say Jackson, you first, since this was your first show. What was your favorite and least favorite song to hear from the show? What's least favorite might be just, you know, like I said, picking nits out. But which one of each of those was yours?
Okay, so my favorite song, it either had to be Stranger in a Strange Land, or it had to be Wasted Years, because those are my two favorites off of that. And Stranger in a Strange Land, just because that bass at the beginning is just, it's awesome. And then probably the one that I would have taken, or the one that I was disappointed about, it might have been Can I Play with Madness, because now that I'm thinking about it, you're right. I was psyched to see it, but it just doesn't come across the same way live that it does on the record.
I just don't think that there's a big clamoring by Iron Maiden fans for that one to come back of all songs.
Yeah, you're right.
What about you, Mac? Same question.
So, Wasted Years, I just love the song so much. And by the time the crowd's in such a froth at that point, they're going nuts. And Bruce is still in a good mood, you know, at that point. It turned out so great. Although I'll say of the new ones, as much as I like Days of Future Past, I thought Death of the Celts, was awesome live. I thought they did a great job with it live, you know. So as far as the new songs go, I'll take that. Least favorite, I mean, it might be Iron Maiden, just because I've seen it every single time, and you know it's coming. And it's like all the new wave of British heavy metal bands back at that time had a song named after themselves, right? It was just kind of something they all did. And then some of those bands fell apart because they weren't that great. Some of them were good, but they just didn't make it. And it's just kind of like, it's an obligation, or it's a relic of the past. You know, it's like, I saw the Stones on their 40 Licks tour, where they did a club, an arena, and a stadium. And when they did the club, they take Satisfaction out and they put in something rare. But when they do the stadium, they put it back in. I'm like, you could take Iron Maiden out and it wouldn't hurt my feelings. It's not that I don't like it, and I expect it in the show. But, you know, I mean, you want to take out Can I Play with Madness? I say take out Iron Maiden, because I've seen it, you know?
I think I know we've discussed that on my podcast, and we all kind of were like, you know, it's coming. You know, you don't really care. It's there. It's kind of a downer, because you know, okay, the set's ending now, at least. You know, and it's getting really close to the end. So what did you guys think of Eddie's stage presence during the show? Like, how many times did he come out? I know you mentioned he came out during the first song and during Hell on Earth, I think you said. No, during Iron Maiden. So what did you think overall of Eddie's presence on the stage, Mac?
So I might be wrong in that he may not have come out during Iron Maiden for the gunfight, Jackson. I think it was during one of the Somewhere in Time songs. Maybe it was Heaven Can Wait. I don't, my memory's not so good. I was just looking at it so I can hear what song it was. But yeah, he came out early, first couple songs. Like, he came out on Stranger in a Strange Land, I think. And then maybe it was Heaven Can Wait when he came back. So it was only those two Eddie appearances. And he didn't go nuts, but he went over to Yannick once and let Yannick kind of hug on him or whatever, and then go back. And then the gunfight part, which was only in Amsterdam, they didn't recreate that in Antwerp. The gunfight part, I thought, was the coolest Eddie interaction ever.
Because one thing I have heard is they said Eddie looks really good on this tour in his incarnation. Yeah.
And wasn't he in the samurai outfit at some point in time? I could have sworn.
You might be right about that.
Yeah, he came out at one point in the samurai deal, and he's swinging the sword around.
You're right.
The only thing is, like, I've seen, and I guess they probably don't do this any day because they're old now, but like, they used to like beat on him, you know, like like tackle him and throw him to the ground. So it was more like a stage thing and not a spontaneous deal. But yeah, it was cool to see, and you know he's coming, and it's, you know, you see him come out and it's fantastic.
Sure. You're right. There was three. So there was like somewhere in time, Blade Runner with the hat and the duster Eddie. There was Samurai Eddie, and then there was cover of Somewhere in Time
with Eddie. The gun,
yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So I said I had three. I have one more question, and then I have a follow up. Sure. So obviously, the big question here is the show ends the second, well, the first show, either show, Jackson, like, you, okay, I've finally seen Iron Maiden. What, like, what's all going through your head at that point?
Yeah. I mean, at that point in time, it was like, it was one of those, like, is it real? Did that really just happen? I can't believe that. It was awesome. Everything sounded great. And it was, yeah, it would have been sad. Like, oh man, I can't believe it was over, but I knew I was going to see him again. So I'm like, I can't. And I was psyched for the second show also, but yeah, it was euphoric to see the whole thing happen. Not a disappointing moment at all.
I've got to imagine. I was just thinking that, because you see your very first show, and then you know I'm going to see my very next show like in 2 days. So yeah. That's got to be that. Yeah. So that, I'm assuming that probably amped your level of excitement up even more, right?
Correct. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it was just like I said, I thought I was going to be sad, but the fact that there was another show to look forward to, I think, definitely helped propel me to the next one.
Yeah, and you know, I even asked it too, because like when I went to see Metallica in Amsterdam in April, right, you see the first night, and then you know the next night it's going to be totally different, like all different songs, right? Right. So I asked him, I'm like, well, I know it was awesome, but you're going to see basically the exact same show again. Is that a bummer? He's like, not at all. I cannot wait. You know? And the second show was better.
Yeah.
When I saw the Legacy of the Beast show, the original one before COVID and all that stuff happened, and they only had one more show in the States, like it was Dallas and I believe it was San Antonio. And I remember that Legacy show was so good that I remember just thinking, I've got to, and I didn't get to, but I was thinking, is there any way I can possibly get down and see this next show? Because it was so amazing. Now, one other question for Jackson before I hit the last question is, I assume at this point that you're not going to miss any more Maiden shows when they come your way.
Absolutely not. And I wouldn't, if they're doing what they're doing now, it would be like another Legacy of the Beast tour, I would imagine. And so, yeah, I would absolutely go and see that. Even if they said they were going to do this exact same set again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah, sure.
And so, just because the energy that they have, I mean, they've been doing this. And that's what I told my wife. I'm like, they've been doing this since like what, 1981, 82, something like that. And maybe you could say, you know, 83, 84, when they did the World Slavery Tour, that was the big one. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to come out there every night and still have the same amount of energy and the same amount of appreciation for the crowd. Like Mac was saying, he says every night is the greatest night. You know, it doesn't seem like they're resting on their laurels. Like they really enjoy being out there and playing.
That's a really good point. Cause you know, you 40 years into a career. I mean, I work with guys that have been doing their job for 40 years sometimes. They don't have the same fervor for their job that, that Iron Maiden does. Of course, they're not probably getting the adulation either. So,
right.
So the last question is, and this is not related to the show, but I'm sure Mac will know what I'm going to be, why I'm asking this. But afterwards, after the show, I believe it's the second show, you go back to the hotel, you decide, hey, let's go to the bar, let's have a drink, let's talk about this, let's, you know, whatever. And from what I understand, you saw a couple of familiar faces in the bar.
So we get back amped up, don't want to go to bed, you know, oh, let's just have a drink. Is the bar open?
And first of all, we basically walked back. Like the sports palace is a couple miles away. And like that train was such a mess getting in there. I'm like, I'm not getting back on that train and, you know, being squished in like a sardine. Mm-hmm. Let's just walk. It's only a couple miles and we're psyched. We're hyped, you know, let's just do it. So we're kind of get all the way back and like, okay, I'm thirsty. Let's get to the bar. We saw these folks from Atlanta. It was like a mom and a dad. And I think the dad's a guitar player in a band in America. And then they had their 14-year-old daughter, Amelia. It was Nicole, Gary, and Amelia was 14 years old. And this is like her 20th Iron Maiden show. Like,
wow.
This girl's awesome. She has a great life. But like they came back and I'm like, okay, I got to run to the bathroom. And Amelia was like, Bruce. Well, like, I like Bruce too, honey. She said, no, Bruce. Like we walked right past him.
Oh, wow.
So, and then you go, Jackson.
You know, I was going to say, so Matt's like, I had to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, fine. And the way it worked was that you kind of had to go down a flight of stairs and, you know, it's, I'm like, there's got to be another bathroom somewhere. I don't feel like doing all that. So I want, and I had a couple of beers. So I'm Mr. Like, hey, I own this place. So I'm just going to bump up. So I walk past the bar and there's a hallway down there. And I'm like, oh, these are just rooms. All of a sudden. So I stop to turn around and go back the other way. Guy comes around the corner. It's Steve Harris. And you want to talk about like instantly like, well, bam, I'm awake. Let's go. He's going to walk past me. And I'm like, I can't. I just say, Steve. And he turns around. It's like that, like, oh, God, what is this going to be? I stuck my hand out and I just said, hey, man, you guys kicked ass tonight. Really appreciate it. You know, thank you so much. And he's like, oh, cheers, mate. And he walked past. So yeah. According to the International Bro Code, Chapter 5, Subsection 3, Paragraph A, we are now friends because he called me mate. So yeah. I got that going for me. So, yeah, he walks by and I'm freaking out. I am freaking out.
That
so
is a flex.
Oh, I mean, just that I can't believe he walked right past me. Oh, my God. And it was always like, I wonder where the band stays. The band was staying in our hotel.
Wow.
So like Max said, we get back to the bar she's like, yeah, Bruce is right there. I would have never recognized him. He had his hat on. He had like, you know, glasses on. He
yeah.
Doing like a some kind of puzzle. He was sitting with his girlfriend. And so we're sitting there, we're across the bar. And then I think you said something back about how, oh my God, Adrian's sitting on the other side of the bar with three or four other people. So we're just, and we had, there were a couple of guys that we were hanging around with that after the show, and we're like, I can't believe this is really happening.
Yeah. To top it all off, like, okay, I've been an Iron Maiden fan. You know, my first tour was Seventh Son. The best I've ever gotten is Bruce stepped on my hand once at a solo show he did.
Awesome.
You go to two shows and you get to have a handshake and get called mate by Steve Harris. That's awesome. So, Mac, you're sitting at the bar waiting for him to come back, right?
So we get our place in the bar and it turns out we're across the bar from Bruce. So he's on the other side over there. And it's like, it's just us. It's Bruce and his girlfriend. It's Adrian and his family. Because he's got like his wife or girlfriend and then like some, mm-hmm. some kids. I assume they were his children.
Yeah,
And then it's the two of us and eventually a couple guys come and hang out with us. And that's it. You know,
are you guys wearing Maiden shirts while you're in there?
Yeah, I'm wearing this shirt. I think Jackson's got a Wolf shirt on.
Correct, yeah. I was trying to rep the corporation there.
Not to mention, we're talking loud because I didn't wear my earplugs, so we're talking loud about how awesome it was. Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like they were thinking, oh, these are just American tourists who are just out late. They knew we were fans or whatever, you know?
Sure.
And I snuck a couple of photos, I'm not going to lie. I snuck a photo of Adrian drinking his wine, and apparently he didn't like the first glass of wine they brought him. And she's like, can you bring him something else he doesn't like? Because of course the bartender hooked him up or whatever. And Bruce is just sitting over there working. And, you know, usually I'm the loud one, like, hey, how you doing? Hey, listen to the Wolf kind of thing. But after a few beers, I chill out. But Jackson goes the opposite way. Now he's the one who like, is like, I'm going to go talk to Bruce. So I'm like, okay, man, go over there and say hi. So I give him some of our stickers. He goes and says hi to Bruce.
Wow.
Hands of a Wolf sticker. I got the thing on tape on my phone. Like I just set it up behind like where the fruit are at the bar where they put the garnishes in the drinks so you couldn't really see that I was recording. I'm like, dude, no, not recording. And he's like, yeah, thanks. And he shook Jackson's hand. He took his glasses off and put them back on. And I'm like, damn, dude. And so I'm like, I will now do it to Adrian. So he went off and said to Adrian.
Well, and to my credit, when I came back, I just said something to Bruce, like, hey, you know, it's same thing. Great show. Thanks so much. You know, this is our, I mean, I had the shirt on, I gave him the stickers. I'm like, this is our podcast. You know, it mean the world to me. If you listen, will he do it? Probably not. But hey, for that 1 second, he seemed like he was interested. He looked at it.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't just like, ugh, whatever. And then I left because I mean, he's just trying to live his life, but I mean, again, you're at the bar. So whatever, then he left. And then I went around and talked to Adrian. So it wasn't like I went right after that. Like, ooh. So we gave him a little bit of space. Same thing, you know, fist bump. Thanks so much. Gave him the stickers. And yeah, it was surreal. That was the most surreal part of the whole thing.
So you first two shows, you meet Steve Harris, Adrian Smith, and Bruce Dickinson.
Correctamundo.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Matt, when Adrian went back to his room, too, he waved to us. I'm like, thank you, man. Thank you for everything. you know, like, thanks so much. It's like, yeah, thanks, man. Be cool. Take care. Whatever.
That's so cool. Yeah. Adrian seems like a pretty down to earth guy, and Steve does as well. Now, I have other thoughts on Bruce, but that's really cool. I mean, I was talking to my daughter yesterday, and I said, well, if I could interview anybody in Iron Maiden, Bruce would probably be last on my list, because he's the one that's out there the most.
Right.
He does kind of have this he's the little more arrogant, you know, he's from the other, you know, the posh side of town. And
right.
The other guys are all working class guys. And my daughter's like, wait, you wouldn't want to interview Bruce? I go, no. I would interview Bruce in a heartbeat.
Of course.
I said, but I'd love to just talk to the other guys, because they're not out there as much. So,
And I think because we were kind of talking about that too, I think Bruce would be a little more shticky. Like, you know, he would have something to say, where it was like, if you could talk to, and I mean, I would absolutely do it in a heartbeat. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But to talk to somebody like Steve is like, he just seems like, you know, he's more reserved, and the same thing with Adrian. So, and well, Nico would be the same way too. He'd have a,
Nico would be fun. Yeah. I always think it would be, you know, Dave, Steve, Nico and Yannick, because and of course I'd love, you know, Adrian might want to talk about fishing, and I caught my very first fish ever like last week.
Good for you.
Yeah. But like, I think those guys that were there through the lean years too, I think there'd be a lot of neat, you know, stories from that time as well. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Yannick. I mean, we had to get up early to take the train back to Amsterdam the next day from Antwerp. And, you know, it was a little rough that morning. I mean, we didn't leave the bar till 2:30 or something like that. And when we got to the room, we were like, oh, my God, what just, you know, we were kind of bouncing up and down, playing the music till 3:30 or 4. And then we get up at 8 and I'm like, oh, I am not 25 years old anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
But when we had breakfast and we saw some of our friends who we were hanging out with at the bar. But then when we were leaving, here comes Yannick down to breakfast, you know, like, if we hung out here, and I got an email from that family I was mentioning before, she was like, hey, we'll check out your show. But yeah, I mean, we basically had breakfast around all of them, you know,
wow.
You guys left, like, they're all down there. The crew's down there, Rod's down, like, everybody's down there. I'm like, God, that's unbelievable. And it wasn't like a huge hotel. It was like a boutique hotel with like 3 floors decked.
Wow. Yeah. Y'all just picked the right hotel.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. That was my wife. She picked out she's like, oh yeah, you guys are going there, here, stay here. And so A+ to her. Cause that was a home run.
Wow. Yeah. What a way to end. That's a whirlwind trip, and then get to meet half the band on top of it. Wow. So did y'all didn't say anything to Yannick though, right?
No, because that was one of those things where, like, the place was packed.
Okay,
he was trying to get his breakfast.
It's going
to
be coffee, you know, we're walking out. I mean, it's like, hey, man, you know, I didn't want to.
So, the bar thing was a little bit different because, like we were saying, we were the only people there and it was late.
Sure.
So I didn't feel as bad about like getting up in front of everybody. But yeah, at breakfast time, when you're just trying to get yourself together, then messing with that.
But yeah, what a way to end that. I mean, you can't really, that's the cherry on top right there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Amazing trip.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Like, now, Jackson, now what do we do? Where do we go from here? You know, we even started to look like, well, they're in Spain over the weekend. Should we change our flights?
Yeah. We can fit one more in.
Yeah. I was spent, man. I basically slept like 17 hours yesterday. Okay. It took it out of me to do all that and then get back here. Because then you got to be up for 24 hours because I can't sleep on a plane and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But
that's
wild.
Like you said, what a way to end it. You know, I mean, you really can't beat that.
I don't think so. It just, everything fell into place. Great shows, great set list, you know, great stories to tell. So really appreciate you coming on to kind of guide us through this also.
That's the part of the story I did not know. Max sent me a little bit of like a couple of pictures, like, hey, look, we saw Bruce over there. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, they took a couple pictures. And they said, oh, there's Adrian. Oh, cool. Wow, but here I am walking down the hall. Hey, Steve Harris, nice to meet you. Oh my God, that's so wild. I had a chance to meet Steve. He was here in, what would have been, February or maybe the beginning of March of 2020. He was here with British Lion, and you know, he was always doing meet and greets. I had went to a show, like two shows the weekend before, so I thought, I'm just not gonna be able to hit that show because my wife will get upset. And then of course, like literally they got on a plane, they flew home, and the world shut down. And I was like, that was it. That was my chance right there. And I missed it. So I'm kicking myself. So, but that's awesome. That is, those are really cool stories, guys. Those are awesome.
Steve, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, about your show and where they can find you?
Let's see. I'm on every, I guess I would be on any streaming platform. It's called Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. And it's me. It's usually me, Matt, and Kirsty. We do which you were on once. You did your Iron Maiden story. That's something I do every month. I know, I think we had discussed Jackson coming on at some point afterwards, after we had this conversation.
Right.
So, but people, if you want to send an Iron Maiden story and they send me an email, it's ironmaidenpodcast@gmail.com. And we go through your Iron Maiden history, and we do history episodes, or I have a guy named Andrew, and he comes and he does, like, you hear the Trooper. He goes into the actual real history of what that song's about, and he goes into all kinds of areas. He even did one for Weekend Warrior from Fear of the Dark, which is a terrible song, but he went into what it was really about, and it's, you know, the football
hooligans. Yeah, that's right.
And it made it really interesting. We do shows where we rank things. We do album reviews. We do a lot of stuff, but it's all a reason just to sit around and talk Maiden, basically. So
it's awesome.
Always fun. Yeah. So, but that's it. Yeah. Like I said, it's Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, and it's on, you can find it anywhere. And we're definitely not experts, but we all love Iron Maiden. We've all been fans. That group of four, we've all been fans roughly since the mid to late 80s, around the time you guys came along.
Yeah.
As well. So, and that's what we do, I guess. I don't know much more to say.
No, that's awesome. Now check it out. It's a great show. And if you like Iron Maiden, you're going to love it.
Yeah, hopefully so. Hopefully so. Either you'll love us or you'll hate us, but you'll have a feeling one way or the other. We have some bizarre opinions at times and that get us into trouble. So let me ask you guys one question. One question. Would you say that Peace of Mind is a masterpiece album?
10 out of 10? Is that what you're asking? Is it a 10 out of 10?
Yeah, masterpiece. Would you call it a masterpiece? It's got Quest for Fire on it.
Yeah.
It's got Die With Your Boots on it, which Sun some people... Steel. It's got To Tame a Land.
I can't rank it. I personally wouldn't rank it over Somewhere in Time. I would not say it's a no-skip every time album. I wouldn't.
Jackson, what about you?
I think I'm in the same boat. We reviewed that, and you know, we went into especially where Eagles Dare. It's like... you know what? The more you listen to that, the intro is cool, and then it kind of gets a little bit. But I mean, it's a great album. But I would definitely rank others higher than that.
Yeah, there's some of their best songs ever on there. You know, you got The Trooper, you got Flight of Icarus, you got Revelations, you got things like that. But you know, it is what it is. But I have a guy that just pesters me about it, and so I just thought I'd throw it at y'all real fast.
Can't give it a 10 out of 10, but it's a classic. It's a great one.
Yeah, definitely. You got the Trooper on your album. You know, it's kind of hard to argue against it too much. But well, I appreciate you guys having me on.
No, thank you
so much.
Thank you, Steve.
What a blast that week was, man. I've gone to a lot of shows over the years and been with a lot of friends, lots of different folks. But because Jackson and I lived apart from each other for so long and kind of lost touch for a decade or so there, we've missed out on going to a lot of shows together. And for this to be Jackson's first Iron Maiden show in Amsterdam, where I used to live, it was so much fun. I can't even express how much fun we had there. And then going to Antwerp with the special bonus of bumping into the band at the bar after the show, just fantastic. I'm glad you guys are here to listen and share this with us, and I encourage you, if you've got a favorite band and you've got a friend who's got the same and you haven't seen them together, figure out a way to go. And if you haven't seen Iron Maiden, they're not doing too many U.S. dates this year. We'll see about what's to come, but you got to go and see Iron Maiden live. They're about the best live band I've ever seen, and they're still doing it, and it's still a lot of fun. And we thank Steve from Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone for kind of being our interviewer, right? You know, asking the pointed questions that the Iron Maiden fans will want to hear the answers to, and a guy who's been to many, many shows himself. Definitely check out his show, and you can follow him and us on Twitter, which is now called X. I don't know what Elon's doing there, but it's @ugly_werewolf and @actionjack72. Let us know about the albums, the bands, the concerts, the books, the rock properties you want to hear about. And we're on Instagram and we're on Threads, and we're on YouTube. Maybe we're on Facebook, but please download, subscribe wherever you get your shows. And listen, guys, you want to do us a big favor? Go on wherever you get your shows, whether it's Apple or Spotify or Good Pods or any of the great platforms out there. Go in and give us a positive review. It just makes a huge difference when we're out there trying to find more rock and roll fans like you. And it'll help us get more guests, more fun things to talk about on the show. Thanks, as always, to Pantheon Pods, of which we're a proud member of that network of about 100 different music shows. And thank you to RareVinyl.com. Go to RareVinyl.com, guys. Use the code UGLY. You save 10% off your purchases. They've got all sorts of amazing stuff there, and they ship all over the world. So you want some rare Iron Maiden stuff, go to RareVinyl.com. Use code UGLY. Next week, what's coming next week? But before next week's show, we've actually got a pretty big surprise in store for you. Something we've been cooking up for months and months now, really probably over a year before we finally got ourselves together to do it. We're launching a new sidecast, and it's First Concert Memories. It's about the first time huge fans of a certain band went to see that band. And we've got 20 standard questions we're going to ask everybody as far as when it was, who you went with, opening act, sound quality, all the stuff you're going to want to know. It debuts August the 1st. Not going to tell you who it was. Let's just say they're part of the Pantheon network of shows, and they're two passionate guys who are about our age talking about the band they love the most. So stay tuned for that one. And until next time, to all you rock and rollers all around the world, be cool and stay safe.